Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. Charlie here with you on a early Wednesday morning. It is March 28th. We are nearly at the end of the month. We are excited to bring you another edition of the Daily Tap. We're talking Bucks, Brewers, and Packers. So a rare triple play. We're not sticking to one. We have all local stuff, which is exciting. Not always the case, but got some good stuff. Got some good nuggets going on. Wish we were talking about a Bucks win today, but instead we're talking about the Bucks kind of falling apart in the fourth quarter, which is always a fun stuff, and I'm definitely doling out a spicy take. So get ready. All right, find us on SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as SnowtapWI. It is a website. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play. We'd love to have you. Rate, review, five-star it maybe. May it be one of the best local podcasts that you listen to, even if you don't believe it, just because you're trying to help the fam out. We always appreciate it. All right, let's jump into the Bucks last night. The Bucks take a L. They get down 16 points. They come all the way back. They have a five-point lead with about, I don't know, 7 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And then the Clippers go on a 13-0 run. Doc Rivers finally figures out the right combination of guys to put out in front, and he buries the Bucks. Doc Rivers was playing this chess match with Joe Prunty all game long, and he finally won it. It was disappointing to see the Bucks come all the way back just to lose this game. Giannis had a great line. He was awesome in this game, except, and just the fact was, nobody else really stepped up. You know, Middleton had some moments. Eric Bledsoe had some moments. But none of them really had that impactful game to be that second scorer for Milwaukee. And it just kind of, it ended up showing a lot of the things that have been wrong with the Bucks. And, you know, we had came off a podcast on Tapping the Keg yesterday. You can go and listen to it. We're like, hey, maybe things change. Maybe this whole thing, things happen. No, it's not the case. They just played really well against the Spurs. That's a good matchup for the Bucks. This isn't a good matchup for the Bucks. And it showed as they got beat pretty much from, the tail ends. They had one good stretch for about a quarter and a half where they really played well. But I think what we really have to start realizing is the Bucks have a Jason Terry problem. My guy Dan mentioned, why is Jason Terry playing a full fourth quarter in meaningful minutes of a critical game down the stretch? And I thought about this, and I looked at his minutes, and he had 31 minutes tonight. Jason Terry can't be playing 30 minutes for a playoff team. He just can't. He is not, that's not who Jason Terry is. The Bucks should be looking at Sterling Brown. The Bucks should be looking at Tony Snell. It should be a rotation of guys and ride the hot hand. I mean, yes, Jason Terry had 5 steals tonight. Great. He had 10 points. Fine. But like, ride the hot hand. Shabazz Muhammad, for all I care. Just anyone. Like, it doesn't have to be locked into Jason Terry. And yes, I realize that this is a Malcolm Brogdon effect. Yes, I do understand that things probably are different if Malcolm Brogdon's here. Bucks might not lose tonight if Malcolm Brogdon's in the lineup. I fully understand that. But the fact is, nobody calls out Jason Terry for his bullshit because Jason Terry is so good with the media. He's earned that Casey McGee halo where he's not going to be criticized. He's not going to be talked about because Jason Terry kind of walks on water because he's so good with the media. I understand that. I understand how it goes. You want to have those accessible guys. So you can't really be critical of a guy like Terry, but who really shouldn't be a reliable player that a playoff team uses down the stretch. He should be a guy who comes in for, you know, the end of the first quarter, maybe even at the end of the half, to sort of maybe give you a three or two and fire up the crowd and get some energy rolling. That's what Jason Terry should be, not a guy with 31 minutes. I understand that the Dellavedova, Brogdon injuries have played into this, but like I said, there needs to be a rotation. Joe Prunty is basically, a gray-haired Scott Skiles. I mean, he has this feeling of, like, he wants to play the veteran guys. He doesn't really have any interest in Sterling Brown. Sterling Brown, 9 minutes tonight. He did not play against San Antonio. And I said, well, you know, Baz and Jennings have been kind of rolling lately, but still, that doesn't excuse not finding some time for Sterling Brown. You have to find some time. So, old Scott Skiles, I don't know what we could call Prunty, Scott Skiles the second, Scotty, whatever. But he basically is emulating Kidd in that sense too, where they just didn't want to play rookies. And that's something the Bucks really do need in their new coach. And I do wonder, I know LA is nice, but maybe Doc wants to coach Giannis. I don't know. Just a thought. I'm not opposed to it. I'll put it that way. Doc to me has done such a good coaching job with so little. And it's like when he has the right personalities who are going to buy in and listen to him, he can make chicken shit out of chicken, or make chicken salad out of chicken shit. Can say that phrase right. It's late. Just give me a break. I did say one good thing about the bench was Tyler Zeller. Tyler Zeller had a really nice day. Jabari might have caught some of that LA flu. We don't know, but he was real rough in this game. Back to back. Hopefully the moving him to the starting role for one game didn't throw him off, and it's just sort of, I don't know. It's something definitely worth exploring. We'll look into how he does against the Warriors on Thursday. Oh, and by the way, Kevin Durant's going to come back for that game. So just fucking great. Just awesome. Just everything breaking the Bucks' way. Just looking like that 8 seed is going to be a thing. And let me say this before I move on to the Brewers. You can be mad about Bucks losses now. Like, this is okay to be. I saw Bart Winkler of 105.7 Fan. I love Bart. I think Bart does a really good job. I think he has some really reasoned Bucks takes, but he was like giving Bucks Twitter shit for being mad about this loss tonight. And like, you'd be mad about this loss. This is a loss to be mad about because it is playoff time. I said this the other day. These next 2 weeks are two or three weeks are the playoffs. This was a playoff matchup with the Clippers, and the Bucks got a 16-point fourth quarter and gacked away a win that they should have had. This is that's the type of game you have to win, especially down the stretch. So I respectfully disagree with Bart. You can be mad about this loss. You should have all the right to be mad about this loss. This is not one of those games where you can just say, oh, well, this happened, that happened, and you know, this they were lucky to even be in it at the end. This was a win they should have had, and the Bucks just don't have a good coach. And Joe Prunty is showing why he's been a lifelong assistant, because he gets out coached by some of the better ones in the league. And Doc did it. So we'll see what Steve Kerr and the Warriors have in store on Thursday. I look forward to Draymond Green also being back. So I love Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. You might as well throw in Klay Thompson while you're at it and just get all three of them and really fuck the Bucks over. And they can lose by 30 and be 0-2 on a West Coast trip with a Denver team looming on a Sunday that owns the Bucks, and a Lakers team that has been known to give the Bucks trouble in the past. Moving to the Brewers. So Mark Annacio was on Power Alley on Sirius XM, and he basically said the reason why the Brewers didn't make another acquisition in the offseason is they're looking to make a major deadline move in July. So he's kind of putting his nuts on the table that the Brewers are going to maybe look for a trade. Now, just because he says July doesn't mean that this deal can't happen in June. It doesn't mean that this deal couldn't happen at Memorial Day. I think the Brewers, there's a little bit of an uncertainty with front office, whether it's Annacio and Stearns, just that they don't know if this team's going to really go over the hump. And if they go over the hump, then they're going to go all in and they're going to trade for either a Chris Archer or a Marcus Stroman or another name that we haven't surfaced. Maybe even Madison Baumgartner. I'd be shocked if Baumgartner is on the block after they brought in McCutchen and Longoria. But with Baumgartner now being out, Giants could be out of the playoff picture before you know it. I doubt Baumgartner's available, but he's a pipe dream. He's just a guy that I know how good he is in the postseason. I feel like he is the best postseason pitcher that baseball has seen in the last decade. So if you could end up having that guy on your team, absolutely do it. But yes, I think they're looking at a guy like Archer or Stroman. I think this is a really good strategy because now you can really make a sound decision on a move for a pitcher and get a pitcher with some control where you can have him for a few years, where you look at the depth chart next year and you see that guy there and you're like, oh shit, yeah, that's right. They got him. Just like Jose Quintana on the Cubs, it's like they have him locked in for three years, I believe, or two. And so that's the type of deal that I think the Brewers want to do, and they know they have a lot of assets to move. And I'm sure fans will be pissed whenever the deal happens because they can't give away assets now. That's the one thing about Brewer people now is they're worried about all these assets being good somewhere else. And it's like you have to realize that you can make the deals. I do also think like there's a situation where if the Brewers are really bad this year, which I think it would take a lot, it would be a lot of injuries, things like that, where they could be sellers. And I think the Brewers didn't want to pigeonhole themselves into being this team where they couldn't make moves on either side of the table and go back to being buyers in winter and just say, we had a bad year, we're taking advantage of a down year and we're moving some pieces. Nothing wrong with that. So I do think the Brewers you know, are doing this the right way. Baseball gets started tomorrow. It will be launching Thursday afternoon. We will talk about the first Brewer game on StoneTap WI on Friday's Daily Tap, as well as in the blog. We'll have the Brew Cap like we've had last few years, I think. So that'll be something that we'll be keeping up to date, as well as having obviously Bucks news and just be rolling. And we're going to try to watch as much as we can so and get it all to you, because that's what we do. We're here for the people. Another thing worth mentioning, Greg Bird of the Yankees is going to be out for quite a while. He has a foot injury. It sounds like it's pretty serious. Sounds like something that could keep him sidelined for most of the year. You just wonder if that's a natural trade partner for the Brewers. Now, they've done some deals with, or did a deal with the Yankees for first baseman Garrett Cooper last season. You wonder if that's going to, they may pick up the phone again. I mean, a guy like Jesus Aguilar or J-Man Choi could really fit this roster. They're not obviously going to trade Ryan Braun. I would be stunned if they made a deal for Thames. But keep in mind that might happen, because there was no news today about, well, who the Brewers were bringing on their bullpen or who they were getting for their last bench spot. I would not be surprised if you see one of those guys getting moved by the Brewers by before opening day, because they do have to have that roster set, and we're just awaiting word on what that roster looks like. Wrapping up with the Packers, there's a lot of Packer stuff that came out from Mike McCarthy, but I want to take on the Josh Jones topic. So I think Mike McCarthy saying that we did too much with Josh Jones is basically him admitting, yeah, Dom Capers is an old fucking coach and had zero idea how to use a hybrid athlete like him. And Mike Patton has studied this stuff. Mike Patton has a defense that can make Josh Jones work, and we're going to put Josh Jones in the best situation. So him saying that we did too much with Josh Jones was code for, we just didn't really know what to do with him, and Dom didn't really give me an answer. And so we just put him out there in different situations, and it probably wasn't the best way to handle a first-year guy. And we think with a full year where he has all the confidence in the world with no Morgan Burnett there, that he can shine and be a really good player and do what they expect him to do. Because people think that he can kind of have this role of a honey badger light, where he's going to be up and in the mix, and he can kind of provide run stopping as well as being a pass defender. There's reasons why people are so hyped on Derwin James as a potential option for the Packers, because James and Jones together could be awesome. That could be a very awesome defensive backfield and give Patton a lot to work with. And I really think that the Capers effect is really real with this. And I think that's probably part of the reason with the Demaryius Randle situation, where Demaryius Randle, McCarthy owned up to him being out of position. I'm writing about this today on StoneTap WI. It's a website. But I'm writing it more from, I think he wore out his welcome hard. I don't think if McCarthy admitted that he was out of position, they get rid of some guys, and they still don't want Randall's ass, it's because he was a shithead like we all thought, and the Packers just were done with him. And I think that's part of the reason why Randall's lashed out on Twitter like he's a teenager. And I think that's part. I think that all is encompassing, and it's all proving McCarthy's point. And yeah, I think that's part of the reason why Randall didn't join this team. And I think Patton saw it too. And Patton's like, I don't really want to deal with this. I think we can get out of Josh Jones what we could have got out of Demaryius Randle. So, or get a draft pick that'll make it work. All right, guys, headed out today. We'll talk a little more about opening day, maybe some other Major League Baseball headlines that we haven't touched on. Look at maybe the Bucks heading into Golden State, if there's anything there, and who else knows what topics will come about. We'll see. Maybe a little rapid fire, since it seems like it could be a light day tomorrow. All right, Tappers, you know where to find us. StoneTap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes. Subscribe to all of them, maybe just one of them if you have only an iPhone or an Android. Maybe a burner account, though, and subscribe there, too. StoneTap WI, it's a website. Visit there. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care. Peace out.